Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
You know what's interesting about this Guardians, Tigers? I mean, it's really the way that this all unfolded, because it was those two teams, like, one had the lead, one has the comeback, they cross paths at the end of the season, and then switch places, essentially, to set up this matchup here. But what's crazy about it is the success that the Guardians have had against the Tigers, especially of late. And I do feel like, going into the series, that's probably the biggest thing. And it's totally like a non-baseball. It's like that. It's like the baseball gods thing, right? Like, that's basically what is in my head, is the other shoe has to drop at some point. And it's just one of those things we do in sports. We always assume that when someone has somebody's number, they're going to, or somebody beats somebody during the regular season, that the next time they play, that person's going to get back at them or whatever. Like last night, for example, obviously they ended up tying, but Micah Parsons and the Cowboys and whatever, if Micah Parsons had won that game, it almost feels like destiny that they'll meet again and the Cowboys will beat Micah Parsons the second time around or whatever. So I think we sort of do that with sports a lot of the time. And so that's kind of the thing, again, not related to baseball whatsoever. It's a completely unconnected, just kind of aura type thing that worries me, is the Guardians have been so good lately. They've been so hot. They have owned the Tigers in the two series they played recently, but in just mounting this comeback, that they're going to get to the playoffs and it's all going to sort of flip back in the Tigers' favor, especially with Skubal, who they have gotten to two starts in a row now that they played against them. Is it possible to do it a third time? So I think it's an interesting matchup between these two teams for so many different reasons. But, you know, as we ask the question of, like, is the expectation that the Guardians should win this series against the Tigers, I think most fans are going to go into it feeling like yes, because they've been the better team for the last month. But there's like that outside aura that it's just not going to go their way, because at some point the other shoe has to drop.
I don't give a damn about your outside aura. This is the team I want to play. Like, I'm begging the baseball gods to give me this team to play in the first round. If I would have played the Red Sox in the first round, would have been a hell of a predicament for you. But if I would have played the Red Sox...
No, I actually wanted it to happen. I was rooting for a Tigers win yesterday and a Guardians win because I wanted a chance to go watch them play. Now,
that's fair.
The thing people threw back at me was like, well, they can just meet in the next round. And I was like, that's true. Let's hope that happens. Yeah,
they can meet later down the line. So that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's true. It is funny that actually both those matches, by the way, the Guardians have owned the Tigers this year and the Red Sox have owned the Yankees this year. So in theory, like, the two teams that probably are going to be considered, I mean, I don't know. Do we have a spread on tomorrow's game already?
For the game tomorrow, it's in favor of the Tigers. For the series overall, it's right down the middle. It's split between the two.
I'm going to guess the Yankees are going to be favored. I haven't looked yet against the Red Sox, but the Red Sox are 9-3, 9-4 against the Yankees this year. So it's kind of funny that it's two series against two division rivals that one has owned the other. And in some respects, I'm assuming most experts are going to think that the Tigers are a better team in terms of, like, how they're constructed. Doesn't mean they're a better team right now, but I think there are probably a lot of people picking the Tigers and believing, like, yeah, they're going to get their act together. But I like where your head's at with this, Jake, because of all the teams you could play, you want the team that's been the coldest going into the playoffs and couldn't get out of their own way and is clearly, like, in their own heads about this. They got lucky and got one win against the Red Sox. I honestly wanted to see them miss the playoffs entirely. That would have been the funniest outcome in this entire thing, was that they collapsed so badly that they even got lapped by Houston, and Houston got in over them. I know everyone hates Houston, but I kind of wanted Houston in over the Tigers just so we could laugh at their expense for not even making the playoffs after being up 15 and a half games.
Yeah, no, I just kind of wanted to play the Tigers because you've had the success against them. But I understand like the sinking feeling of like, oh, like what if that team comes back? Guys, they've been bad since the All-Star break. They've been horrible since. They can't hit the ball. The only pitcher they have that's actually worth a damn in the last 2 months has been Tarek Skubal, and that's it. So congratulations. You can pitch game one. One, we've pitched him game one against Gavin Williams before. Or was it Tanner Bibee the last time they faced?
I think it was Bibee. I could be wrong, but I think it was Bibee.
I think it might have been a flip between the two series because you saw Skubal twice.
Yeah.
Either way, you came out on top both times. You've gotten to Skubal in the playoffs before. You did it last year, and you got to Skubal. It's like, why should I sit here and be scared? Because they have one player that I genuinely look at, and I'm like, could do some damage, and that's Skubal. That's it. It's the only guy where it's like, you could just get shut down today. And we saw that happen earlier this year. Other than that, it's like, okay, well, there's nobody in that lineup that scares me right now. Like, Riley Green's supposed to be the scary bat, and I think he has, like, 3 or 4 hits against the Tigers this year, or against the Guardians this year. It's like, you've completely nullified him. You've shut him down. Kerry Carpenter, is that the other guy that I'm supposed to be, like, mildly afraid of? Because he's not going to throw, he's not going to hit. If I throw one left-handed pitcher, Kerry Carpenter might be out of the game. That's all it takes.
Yeah, and this is why I honestly think the pitching decision, which we know today, they said Gavin Williams will obviously start against Skubal, is pivotal, because the way that the Guardians have beaten Tarek Skubal these last two games has kind of been just getting a good pitching performance on their end and just understanding, okay, it's probably going to take us a few times through the order to really get to him. But when we do, we feel confident that like we'll get a even if it's a small lead, 2 runs, we can protect it because our bullpen's great. And we pave the way all the way up until Cade Smith to kind of close things out and we'll be okay. But that's why I almost feel like that was the biggest decision that Stephen Vogt had to make before this matchup was, who is he putting opposite of Skubal? Because you need somebody that you can trust to go out there and shut things down. And along the lines of everything we're talking about, how bad the Tigers have been the last month, how good the Guardians have been the last month, Stephen Vogt, I think, is kind of playing the odds here by starting Gavin Williams, because we know how brilliant he's been. 1.88 ERA in the month of September. He's been fantastic. He's been, when he was coming up as a prospect, this is what he was believed to be. And it's crazy that through the struggles early in the season, it turns into him being the guy that they're looking to start the first game of a playoff series for you. But he's been great. And so I almost think the pressure is on Williams. Not that he needs to feel it necessarily, but I think the pressure to start the series is on Williams to sort of set the tone, because it's less about, can the Guardians get to Skubal? We've seen them be able to do that. And I think they're okay being patient until they're kind of able to break through. It's about, are they going to have a pitcher on their end that also matches Skubal and keeps the Tigers off the scoreboard or even limits the damage to a degree? Like, if they get a run, okay. But you know Skubal can obviously protect that. So I think that was one of the most pivotal decisions that Stephen Vogt had to make, and I kind of like that he's going with Gavin Williams in this game to start it off, honestly.
Yeah, two I would have picked. I mean, I wouldn't have trusted Bibee with his ups and downs to be on the other
side
of that.
He's been better, but I Williams has been more consistent lately.
Yeah, he's been fine. Like, Tanner, even his last start, didn't have his best stuff, but he ended up, you know, coming through and pitching just fine. But, like, this is the thing where, okay, you give me Gavin. Like, I just don't see where the Tigers factor in past game one. Okay, even if they somehow found a way to get game one, okay, so I'm facing what? Jack Flaherty and Casey Mize in games 2 and 3?
Yeah, Flaherty hasn't been great.
Like, I trust my ability to get to them. If not, like, even if I somehow drop game one, when I'm talking the overall series, Tigers can be favored in game one. Skubal's great. Skubal might just, you know, come through and shut you out. What did we see when we faced the Tigers last year? They were up 2-1. They needed one game to put it away, 2 straight games from the Guardians to take it. Like, I just am not afraid of those moments against the Tigers. Even if you win game one, they've collapsed late. They've collapsed when they should have had it in every aspect of the season, from, you know, games against the Braves, games against the Red Sox, they collapsed. And the entire 15.5 game lead collapsed. They are full of collapse right now. And you're in their heads.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Ben Basher on my show at the end of last week, and he does sports radio up in Michigan. And he was like, nobody in Detroit wants to see Cleveland right now. Like, you are in their heads. They're terrified.
Nobody wants to see them so much that yesterday when I was talking, when some of the media people in Detroit were on the sidelines were talking about the series, I heard them conversing. They were all asking, like, oh, are you going to Cleveland for the series? And they were all like, no, we're not going. That's either because they know it's going to be a short series, or maybe their Phillies just didn't want to send them, really. But I was assuming it was because they were like,
This
might not be worth our time. We might be getting bounced pretty early here. But no, I do think in my heart of hearts, this is the team that you want to, any of the teams in the AL wanted to play, because when you blow a 15 and a half game lead, what was it, 11 and a half going into September or whatever, and that's where you're at as a team. Like, yeah, they limped into the playoffs, great. You always want to play the team that's struggling the most going into the postseason, and that's the Tigers. Like, I don't know that a day off and a series in Boston changes things from a standpoint. I mean, they were it was spiraling so bad, you could feel how in their heads they were, and they didn't have answers. And I guess the benefit is, you know, you have the best pitcher in the game, arguably, to start the this series favors. This is the best situation for Detroit that it's only the 3-game series, because, you know, like, okay, we got Tarik Skubal, but they're going to feel good, even if the Guardians are in their heads a little bit about putting him out there for any game.
Yeah.
Okay, you steal game one, then you know you just got to find a way, whatever that looks like, to win one of the other games. But you're right, like, that's maybe the advantage. That's the one advantage that they have, but you don't really, the one threat they have is Tarik Skubal, and outside of that, you're like, this Guardians team absolutely should handle this Tigers team in the other two games after that. So it's like, just get to Tarik Skubal like you're done.
The Tigers are the replica of the Guardians. They are built in almost the exact same way. And we know when the going is bad, the going is really bad until you find a way to flip it around. I'm sorry, I'll take my chances that the Tigers aren't going to just flip the entire season, the back half of the season, on its head and go, oh, we made the playoffs, now we're good. Like, you don't just relearn to hit the ball after struggling all the way through the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the hot teams tend to sometimes go on runs going to the playoffs, because they're clicking right now, and that is not the case for the Tigers. So this is absolutely the team I think Guardians fans should want to play. There is that little thing in the back of your head, though, that's like, what if it's time for the Tigers to flip the script? But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. 216-474-992. We'll continue talking Guardians coming up with Daryl Ryder. We'll also ask Daryl, is it time for a quarterback change for the Cleveland Browns? I think he actually answered that question this morning, but this is the afternoon show. He's got to answer it again. We'll do it next on The Fan. Well, let's go out to Daryl Ryder, who is part of the great group of guests we have today for you, as he is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, are you at all fearful that the script is going to flip it all for the Tigers after they've been so battered and beaten through the month of September, including by the Guardians?
Not in the least. I am very confident. I have tremendous respect for Skubal, no question about it. But I am very, very confident that the Guardians will win this series.
Daryl, do they do that off the back of the fact of, obviously, the pitching's been great, or do you think there's a chance the offense actually wakes up in this series? They showed it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you've had instances where the Guardians off.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Defense has popped a little bit. It's not like it's been a complete desert, let's be honest about that. But also at the same time, it's going to have to be on pitching and defense, right? I mean, it's October. Here's the other thing, too, to keep in mind. Shadows are going to come into play in this series, especially late in the game. So it's going to be important to get out to an early lead so that when those shadows do creep in, you really have the advantage.
Daryl, outside of Jose Ramirez and Steven Kwan, who is the player from an offensive standpoint that you think needs to have the biggest impact with their bats in order to help the Guardians not only win this series, but, you know, go even deeper into the playoffs?
I'd probably say Brian Rocchio, or whoever is catching because they've been hot. I mean, you know, both Austin Hedges and Josh Naylor's bats are finding, or Bo Naylor's bats have been finding baseballs here recently, and hopefully they can keep that going here at the end of September and moving into early October. But you know, because that's depending on who's on the bump and how we feel about things and whatnot. So if you're looking for an everyday player, I'd probably say Rocchio.
Darryl, what the hell are we doing playing a playoff game at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday? What is
I was going to ask you about that, actually, Jacob.
I'm old enough to remember when there were division series games played at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. So, you play when you're scheduled, and that's just going to be that. You know, this isn't Boston or New York or Los Angeles, so certainly you're not going to get the primetime window unless you are playing one of those teams. And obviously you got to get deeper into the postseason for that to happen. So, playoff afternoon baseball, it's just a reason to skip work and skip school. I'm not seeing a problem here.
Darryl, I'm curious, like, how this magical comeback that the Guardians just went on over the last month will be remembered based off of the playoff results. Like, I'm not saying, like, I do think it should be its own sort of standalone moment that we look back on. I mean, again, largest lead overcome in a division in MLB history, 15 and a half games back in July when the Tigers were up. And so within itself, like, it is a historic moment. It should be remembered. Right. It should be celebrated. But I also, you know, you're old enough to remember 1 o'clock games being played on a Tuesday. I'm old enough to remember not so long ago fans getting mad at this organization for not investing in the team enough and not building a team that's a legitimate World Series contender. So I just wonder, like, if they crash and burn, if they do lose this week, or if they only make it to the ALDS after making it to the ALCS last year, will it be remembered the same, or will it just kind of get swept up in another year of, well, the Guardians, you know, they made it to the playoffs again, but they still didn't do enough to actually get over the hump.
I'm glad you were born last month, Spence.
That was a lot of months of them doing that. Anyway.
Hey, a couple years ago, they ripped off 22 straight wins, American League record. I still remember that. So, I know how I'm going to remember it, and it's for the remarkable historic run that it is. I've covered enough playoffs over my three-decade career that I have a tremendous respect of just how hard it is to advance, the day-to-day grind that it entails. Obviously, how hard it is to win a championship. I've only seen one of those. And, of course, I came in 2016 with the Cavaliers. And I remember just what a grueling grind that the LeBron 2.0 era was, those 4 years that they went to the NBA Finals. I don't like telling fans how to spend their money. I certainly don't like telling fans how to fan. But, I do think that sometimes if you get caught up in the zero sum of, if you don't win a World Series, then it was a waste of time. You lose the appreciation for the moments that occur. For instance, 2016, right? It's heartbreaking. They lost in extra innings in game 7. That's what we remember. But we don't remember the incredible run that they had to get to the World Series, the way Terry Francona managed that pitching staff and that bullpen. It was unique. 97, when the then Indians got to game 7 of the World Series, we remember how it ended, but forget Sandy Alomar hitting that 8th inning home run against the Yankees to force a game 5. They beat the Yankees in 5, advance to play the Orioles. They take out the Orioles, Tony Fernandez with the home run in extra innings to ultimately send them back to the World Series. Like, those are things that, like, I remember from those runs. And I hope that fans are able to enjoy the moments that will be captured here in the coming days, and also remember what it took this ball club to go from a game below 500 to ending the year 14 games above 500 and division champions. And they did it in such an incredibly short span to erase that 15 and a half game deficit. Look, I hope that this is a summer that, parents, tell their kids about, and their kids tell their grandkids about, because it really has been a special couple months, as Stephen Vogt just got done telling us.
All right, Daryl, time for you to be mad at me. We're moving our appointment question up from tomorrow night up until right now. Kevin Stefanski, non-committal.
I'm not around tomorrow night, so you might as well get it out of the way now.
Well, Kevin Stefanski was non-committal today about the quarterback. Is this the week we see Dylan Gabriel as the starting quarterback?
Yeah, we'll see. You know,
you told me you're not around, then move the question up now for a we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, does it really matter? Do they really have a better chance to beat the Vikings if it's Dylan Gabriel, not Joe Flacco? The answer you're looking for is no. But, you know, obviously Kevin's comments today, open your eyes, very non-committal when it comes to Joe. Not a surprise considering how these first 4 weeks have gone. I think also Kevin understands this isn't all Joe's fault. Joe can't catch the football when he's hitting guys in the hands. He can't block for his two tackles. That's why they made the trade today. Because they're just desperate for any help at that position, because the two guys that they reeled out there, Cornelius Lucas and KT Leviston, were turnstiles at times. I am surprised that Joe Flacco survived that game. And hey, maybe he didn't survive the game, and that's why Kevin Stefanski is contemplating a quarterback change. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but obviously the results are the results. They're averaging 14 points a game. They haven't scored more than 17 in a game. They seem to be constantly behind the eight ball. It took until yesterday for them to score in the first quarter. It's not good. It's historically bad offense, and it's hard to keep sticking with it. So I understand if Kevin Stefanski is contemplating a change. Also, I would say it's not just the Kevin Stefanski decision. It will be an organizational decision if they ultimately make that change. And I'm guessing Kevin's leaning a certain way, but I don't think that it's 100% definitive that he's going to go in that direction just yet. Maybe he makes that. I think he makes that decision tomorrow, and maybe we find out about it on Wednesday or Thursday. But I can't imagine he's going to go into a practice week with his starting quarterback in limbo. So maybe that decision does come tomorrow.
Well, but Daryl, how much do you think the fact that this game specifically is being played in London, they got to fly across the globe and all that, factors into that ultimate decision? Because that, to me, like, that's the big holdup for me. If this was a normal week, I don't care who they were playing. I know we're all looking for the perfect circumstance to start a guy, but like, if it was the Chiefs coming to town, I wouldn't care if they changed the quarterbacks. But because you're going to London, I just feel like you talk about setting up a quarterback for success. I just don't know if like screwing up his body clock and then being like, hey, go out there as you're still getting used to the NFL grind of week to week anyway, that's the bet that's setting him up for success, on top of the fact that you're putting behind him an offensive line that isn't very good either.
If I were the Browns, I would play Joe Flacco the next 2 weeks. I would play him against the Vikings. I would play him against the Steelers. And then for the Dolphins, put Dylan Gabriel on the field. That's just me. That's what I would do. Just for some of what you alluded to, Spencer, I don't think that making a change this week improves their chances of winning this football game a single iota. Part of it's because of travel. Part of it's because the preparation involved with the travel and all that. Like, I would put Joe out there the next 2 weeks. The results will be the results. We all know where this season is headed. No need to talk about it. And then go ahead after six games, go ahead and get into your evaluation mode. Put Dylan Gabriel out there. Run that as long as you can. Maybe you throw Deshaun Watson back on the field at some point, although Kevin Stefanski seemed real thrilled to talk about Deshaun today when he was asked, right? I mean,
I think we can agree he's not going to be starting this week, so.
Yes, I think we can rule Deshaun Watson out. I think that is a very accurate statement. But, I just don't think that making a quarterback change this week moves the needle as far as chance to win on Sunday. But if they do make that move, I get it, because I've watched the first 4 weeks just like everybody else, and it's been pretty ugly.
Daryl, last 20 seconds here. Did you have a favorite quote from Kaz Media Day today?
Yeah, it was Lonzo Ball telling us that he did not realize Cleveland had water.
That was funny. That was really funny.
That was pretty spectacular.
They got water here
and everything. It's great.
He did give Cleveland some props for the food scene. He said he's having a good time here. So good stuff from Lonzo Ball. Good stuff from Daryl Ryder as well. Daryl, we'll let you get back to your afternoon, man. We appreciate you stopping by for a few minutes. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl.
You bet, you guys. Have a good one.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what he had to say coming up. But we got quick hits. And Rory McIlroy being a crybaby at the Ryder Cup. We'll talk about it coming up. in about 5 minutes in the Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
So, Jake, I'm going a little off script here because I have to ask this question. Last night, we had the epic matchup between the Cowboys, the Packers. It was Micah Parsons' return to Dallas. Everyone was making such a big deal out of it, and it lived up to the hype. When games live up to the hype, it is like one of the most glorious things ever. When you're like on the edge of your seat watching this game because it's so good. It was high scoring, back and forth. You didn't know who was going to win. And then they go to overtime, and then the Cowboys kick a field goal. And then as they were driving down the field, I said to myself, this game's going to end in a tie, isn't it? And then lo and behold, even though Jordan Love tried to give the game away at the end, it ended in a tie. Like, we need to get rid of ties in football, right? Like, this is like, that's the most disappointing thing that can happen. To watch an entire football game with all the energy and emotion that you spend invested in a game, especially one that's that good, and then it just ends in a tie. That is the most disappointing way for a game to end. Am I wrong?
No, it's a completely disappointing result. I think the NFL kind of likes it, though, because it creates this exact discourse. It's like, this is terrible. And it's like, oh, but you could see the Cowboys and the Packers again in the playoffs. And somebody has to decide. Like, I think they kind of enjoy this as much as you and I can.
There's
sit
no
here
way
and
they
it.
Enjoy this. I'm sorry. When you get to the end of the game and you have people like Dak Prescott and like Jordan Love being like, yeah, you know, I never played in a tie before. And there's been other ties in NFL history where like the guys go, some guy doesn't know that you can tie. And they're like, yeah, I didn't even know you could tie. Like, those are the answers that you want from these players after like this epic game of football. It's just like, oh, you can tie? Like, we're not going to another overtime? Like, no. Everything about a tie in football stinks. We need definitive decisions on who wins these games.
Only way to fix it is college overtime. The NFL feels, I feel like they're going to say that's
they
too
gimmicky. They should do that during the regular season, though. That should be during the postseason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
You keep it what it is, but in the regular season, you just go to college overtime.
They've already made overtime changes. Let them be, okay? They're trying. They're trying to make it better.
First, they got to get... Sorry.
Go ahead. Just off. We got an interesting exchange. Robert Saleh, defense coordinator for the 49ers, basically accusing the Jaguars of legally cheating. Liam Cohen confronted him after the game, and Kyle Shanahan, head coach for the 49ers, talked about it following.
Try to clear it up, but I didn't see what happened, so I'm not sure. Don't think you should be that sensitive about it, but it is what it is. Not too worried about it.
I mean, we're going through, like...
Did we get an explanation from Cohen? Because I saw the video and I never had the chance to, like, look up what actually he was mad about. What did he think he was doing that was legally cheating?
He said they used some legal sign-stealing method, basically, and they used it, and the entire O'Connell and Shanahan tree uses it, and they all go through and do the exact same thing, and it's like...
If it's legal, then why is he mad about it?
Apparently, Cohen's just saying they did. Like,
it's not like they had Connor Stallions in the stands or something. Like, if it was apparently legal, then what does it matter?
Well, okay, I do think it's stupid because it opens up this entire book of like, oh, well, if they're legally signed, so what does legally sign stealing even mean?
Is like, it like legal tampering?
Right? That's what it feels like. It's like, no, that's still technically like, if you put tampering on it, it's wrong. If you put sign stealing on something, it's wrong. Like, unless it's... We stare at it, and every time we watch you hold up a red note card, you manage to go into cover two. It's like, well, that's just fair game. Like, that's not a system. That's just me looking at it and you being too simple on your play calls. Like, that's if you like, have to diversify them, they're too simple to begin with.
Yeah, that's like a pitcher getting mad at the guy on second base because he's signaling to his batter that it's going to be a fastball because he can see it the way he's, you know, setting up his delivery, which
is illegal in the Little League World Series, by the way. Can't do that.
It's in the Little League World Series that's illegal?
They got yelled at this year for that.
Oh. Well, in Major League Baseball, it's not illegal, which is why pitchers are told protect your signs. But I mean, if it was, I don't know. I didn't see the exact accusation, but I did see this interaction. I guess my overall take is that is Cohen is kind of like a wild card. Like, I don't know what to. He came in and had that weird way of saying Duvall. Dude, then I thought, like, maybe he's actually really good of an offensive mind. Like, look what he did with Baker. And now I'm just questioning, like, I know coaches are all kind of insane. I think he might be too insane to be a good football coach. I don't know. This is just weird. Weird behavior for like your fifth game as a coach. It's just wild.
It's better than Mike McDaniels.
That's true.
It's better than that.
He's going to be unemployed soon.
Yes.
Omaha!
All right, so I saw this on Saturday, and I was like, what is Fox doing? Dave Portnoy, we know he joined the Big Noon Kickoff crew, and he had this wild take about lightning delays while on the show.
I'm not going to talk about crying Ryan Day and the long arm of the law at Ohio State. Instead, I'm going to talk lightning. I am sick of lightning delays in college football. I don't remember growing up. You have four or five games that have four-hour delays. Everybody going in, sign a waiver. If you get struck by lightning, so be it. But when they do the delay, the fans have to leave the stadium anyway. So what if they get struck outside? Let's play football, man football, weather Midwest. You sign it. Lightning, if it hits you, it's just not your day.
Audio courtesy of Fox. I'm asking this question for anybody in this entire station. If somebody from the sales team is listening and wants to chime in, come on up and let me know. Has the Dave Portnoy thing like really been so great that it's like everyone's glued to their TVs for his bits and segments on Big Noon? Like, has it really helped their ratings all that much? Because I think week one, it made sense. He showed up to the Texas Ohio State game. It was a big troll. There was the whole story about them not letting him in the stadium. Yeah, cool. Let's tune in for that. Ever since, it just feels like he's just saying stupid things and trolling on like the most random topics, like lightning delays. Like, what are we doing here? Is this really like a ratings grab? Are they getting the desired results here?
I feel like some people like it. Like, I mean, it doesn't. I haven't really even watched Big Noon.
So that's what that answers the question.
But it doesn't.
I'm
not everybody.
You're not grabbing.
Some people do it.
Okay, but I'm saying like if Dave Portnoy was such a draw for you, you'd be like, oh, I can't miss Big Noon Kickoff. Got to get over there and watch it. You don't care. It hasn't changed the way people view Big Noon Kickoff.
I think it might a little bit. That show felt a little, not even like stuck up. It felt a little boring at times before this year came on, though. And like Dave adds the element of surprise that you get from, again, I don't know that's a direct rival to McAfee, but it adds that element of, I have no clue what's going to happen, so maybe I should tune in.
I don't even hate Dave Portnoy like that. I just don't think that this has worked. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it does work. But I think it was like a grab at some sort of, again, trying to mimic McAfee, obviously. And I just don't know if, like, the juice has been worth the squeeze. Like, has it really turned into the ratings thing, the ratings explosion they thought it was? I don't know.
Well, I don't think the lightning delays was the part that was doing it. You probably got about...
What a stupid take, by the way. We didn't even talk about the take itself. Like, what are we doing here? If you get struck by lightning, so be it. Like, what?
Have we ever had lightning actually hit a football player at all? Like, I mean, the lightning delays do get a little excessive sometimes. Yeah. Like, to the point where it's like, oh, well, it's, you know, they do the classic thing that they do when you're growing up. And even in baseball, it's like, well, there was lightning in a 30-mile radius, which means we're on a 30-minute delay until there's no lightning for those 30 minutes. And it just keeps renewing. It's like, get it, player safety, we're all in. Good thing. But feels like if we go 4 or 5 hours, we should probably just push that game to tomorrow or something. Probably should.
What's
move
funny
on from
is
that
the
one.
Second that they just played football through a lightning delay, like some player would actually get struck by lightning.
That would
die,
be the luck of it.
And
right?
Then everyone would be like, how could they do this? It's a catastrophe. And especially if it was a Michigan player, Dave Portnoy would have been like, well, who came up with that stupid rule?
Omaha!
All right, last one real quick. The Mets get bounced from the playoffs with an opportunity to actually get in until the Miami Marlins are the team that kept them out. SNY on the broadcast going through and breaking down the celebration from the Marlins.
I'm watching the Marlins. They just took a team picture in front of their dugout like they're going to the postseason.
Oh, this was their World Series. Oh, yep, they took two out of three, knocked the Mets out of the postseason. We saw the Reds celebrating in Milwaukee.
is this their World Series.
Is this too far? Do you like the celebration from the Marlins, even though they literally accomplished nothing?
Because, you know what? This is the level of trolling that I actually do like, yes. I think it's pretty funny that they did this to troll the Mets of like, hey, we catch out of playoffs, haha, your big budget payroll team and our small, not really a small market, but our small payroll team, and we beat you to keep you out of the postseason. I think it's funny. I mean, yeah, it is a little silly in the grand scheme of things, because like that shouldn't be your goal, is just to keep the Mets out of the playoffs. But if it upset people enough that they felt like they were getting trolled and they talked about it on the broadcast, I think it's pretty funny. I enjoy the entertainment value of it.
I'm all in on it. Bleep the Mets. They went and got Juan Soto and couldn't make a playoff. I'm celebrating.
Yeah, that's actually an even better point.
Yeah.
If you're mad that the Marlins are out there doing this, maybe, you know, don't lose however many games they lost this year and don't like make it come down to the last game of the season. Like, how about you win like 10 more games during the regular season? You'd be okay.
You literally
Freaking Soto.
You handed Juan Soto about $1 billion to go out there and win baseball games, and you couldn't even make the playoff, let alone take down your division. You couldn't make the playoffs over the Cincinnati Reds, who were atrocious last year, and they went, oh, we'll just go get Tito Francona, and now we're into the playoffs. We slip in, and nobody thinks we're a good baseball team, and you still couldn't get in as the Mets.
Yeah, if you're the Mets and you let it come down to the last game of the season and you lose, the Marlins definitely get to do whatever the hell they want. They can stomp on your field. They can, like, mess up your logo, like what Kyrie did to the Celtics logo that one time. They can do whatever they want. They can do unsavory things to any part of the stadium because they catch you out of the playoffs. Good stuff, Jake. We didn't have time to get to Rory McIlroy crying, but I promise you that will circle back later in the show. So now you have to listen the entire rest of these 3 hours we have together. Speaking of which, we roll on into the 4 o'clock hour. Daryl, like Kevin Stefanski, kind of noncommittal, and if a quarterback change is coming, what did he say if you missed it? Plus, is Kevin Stefanski tied to whatever quarterback decision he makes in his job security? We'll talk about it coming up on the 92 Through the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.